Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Personal finance might not be the most romantic topic of conversation when you're starting life as a couple, but at some point you will have to take on joint financial decisions, goals, responsibilities, and so on. So what is the best way to manage your money as a couple? Owen McGee is going to help us chart some choppy waters here, potentially. Owen, joint or separate bank accounts?
That is a question that
not
you...
Not for the first date.
Yeah, not for the first date is right. Certainly not for the first date, although I have heard some horror stories. That's a question that is very individual to a couple, okay? And what I mean by... And it's actually quite individual in a couple as well, right? And what I mean by that is I know couples who would be clients or people who I've engaged with who, if they had a joint bank account, they would absolutely split up. And I know couples, if they didn't have a joint account, they would absolutely split up. And it's really what works best for you as a couple. And we carry a huge amount of opinions and baggage with us into a relationship on many fronts, but particularly around finances and how we've managed them in the past.
Okay, so then as you've seen it in your experience from the people that you're dealing with, the pros of having a joint account, please.
The pros of having a joint account is there's absolute transparency. You can see exactly what's going on. You're in it together. You can see that if a bill gets missed, that you're immediately informed of it because you can see it on your app the same way they can see it on their app. And there's that kind of joint responsibility piece is the big thing about that. The cons of it is there's absolute transparency. And you can see when things go wrong, you can see when things go right. And I do have a...
And you'll be getting notifications in real time as to what it is that's being spent by your other half.
And I'll actually give you a quick story, Philip, which is a real story. And this was a couple and he got a phone call at 2:05 to say, what did you have for lunch today? Now, this is an incredibly healthy couple. I know this couple, incredibly healthy couple. What did you have for lunch today? And he said, I had a coffee and a sandwich, but it was €2 more than it usually is. I had a muffin as well. Now, she's actually an accountant, right? And it is a healthy relationship. And one of the things that you do have to be, and given that I've given that story, there is old unhealthy relationships that joint bank accounts can cause a huge factor in, where if it's an unhealthy, if there's control, that can be a method of control as well.
If you do have a joint account and if you're treating it as a savings account out of which bills are going to be paid, and one person in the relationship is earning significantly more than the other, how do you navigate that? Should people be putting in a percentage of their incomes or should things be split absolutely ruthlessly down the middle?
Again, this comes down to the couple, and I don't mean to sound like a politician, but to give you the correct answer is... communication is key here. What works for you as a couple? And again, sometimes you will find that it's 50-50 work. Sometimes you will find, you know what, we're both on 100 household income and yours is 70 and mine is 30, so you should do 70% of the income or of the expenses, and that's the way it should be split. There's actually research out there that shows, and I'm talking about heterosexual couples here because I don't have research on other makeups of couples, right? But there's research that shows for men, if they're not spending, if they're spending less than 60% of the expenses, so if they're covering less than, so that's the peak thing for men. If they're doing less than that, they start over time to feel inferior. Now, I think we need to get over ourselves, Philip. Yeah, absolutely. They want to be, if they end up only spending 20 or 30 or 38% over time, the research suggests that they feel that they're inferior, which is horrendous to think about.
You want to be pretty fragile to be feeling emasculated by your partner paying their way.
By your partner being successful in paying their way. It's interesting. One of the dynamics that I find really interesting to watch, let's say you've got a couple and they're bubbling along together and they're both on 50 grand a year and one of them gets a very big pay rise very quickly and goes up to 100,000 euros a year. It doesn't actually matter whether it's male, female, who gets the big pay rise. That dynamic shift of, ooh, hold on a second, up to now we were always bang on equal. Now there's an inequality and it's a positive inequality and the person who's on the lower salary sometimes can feel like, oh, there's just something just doesn't feel right about this. I'm uncomfortable about it, but it's not fair for me to feel uncomfortable about it.
And while we're bursting stereotypes here, what does the research say about who are the more profligate spenders? men or women.
Okay. Would you like to try and hazard a guess to who spends more money, men or women?
I already know the answer to this question, and it's a surprising answer.
Yeah, so typically, if I'm in a room and I'm asking a room full of people this question, you'll usually get the women will say women spend less, and the men will say women spend more.
It's the oldest stereotype nonsense, isn't it?
Actually, over time, we spend the same. So in general, and I'm going to be really in general here, this is what the research shows us, that over time, men tend to spend on bigger ticket items. Mm. Let's call them gadgets or golf clubs or whatever they are, right? And women, and not to say women don't spend on gadgets and golf clubs, but in general, women spend little and often. And it's that classic, and we're being very heterosexual in our descriptions here today in terms of being very generic, right? But she comes down with a new top on. You say, I haven't seen that top before. Is that new? No, I got that ages ago. Now, she hasn't told you that she just took the tag off it upstairs and this is the first time it's been worn. But what I would say is that it is one of those things, little and often, but over time we tend to spend the same amount.
Men spend money on the big ticket items, justifying that, you know, the house really needed a drone. We really needed to see what the roof of the house looked like.
Yeah, and this drone has now been sitting in the corner for the last 6 months and has probably been taken out of the box once. But it is a really important thing to realise. We do tend to spend the same amount. One of the interesting things, though, and again, in the generalist research that I have, women are much better with the family finances. And the reason that I perceive that to be is, I don't know if you've ever heard the description of, if we get a prescription from our GP for tablets for ourselves, there's something like a 90% success rate that we'll actually fulfill the prescription exactly as we're supposed to do it. But if we get tablets for our dog from the vet, there's like a 100% chance of successfully completing that prescription as described, because we're looking after something else. And when it comes to finances, women in general, women see the family finances as somebody else's money and therefore look after it better.
Okay, that's an interesting sort of philosophical approach to money, that the money in the joint account, once it has gone into a joint account, a man would consider it as the communal asset. A woman would say, no, that's the house's money. That's somebody else's money.
That's somebody else's, so therefore I have to take care of it better, the same way you would your dog if your vet gave you a prescription.
What works best, again, in your experience? Paying all of the bills from a pooled account, or just saying, no, look, the utility bills are your responsibility and I'll take care of the mortgage?
If all the utility bills add up to the mortgage, that's a grand way of doing it. And if it's equal and that's the way you've decided to do it, that's the thing to do. If putting it all in together and you put €2,000 a month and I put €2,000 a month into the joint account, that works for you, that's great as well. And all the bills just come out of that joint account. The important thing here, though, is whatever you decide, each person needs to keep some financial independence to themselves. You need to have some of your own money to spend on what you want to do, okay? And particularly if somebody decides to give up work, maybe to look after the kids or to stay at home for some other reason, if they decide and they've no income in their own right, they are still supporting the other person going out to work, and they should be given money from that other person that's theirs to spend on whatever they want.
Can I also offer a practical tip here? Everybody in the relationship should have their own name on a utility bill. You never know when it is that you're going to need them to prove residency or whatever. You might not have to pay it, but just have your name on the telephone or the electricity or whatever.
Absolutely.
How meticulous should you be in tracking who pays for what here?
There are incredible stories out there, like we talked about the muffin a minute ago. There are incredible stories, and there's actually apps out there now that you can sign up to and your partner signs up to, and you register, I paid this, you paid that, I've paid more this month, you paid less this month. And
sounds like a recipe for recrimination, doesn't it?
I certainly wouldn't sign up to something like that. That's just too detailed for me. But it does come back to, Philip, this is how some people prefer to live it, and they just find that it's the only way that it's fair for them. Philip, with all of these questions and with all of this thought process, and we think about this, this comes down to sitting down at the kitchen table and really understanding what it is that's important to you and them.
51551 or todaycb@rte.ie for your texts to Owen on this. Oh, and it used to be the case in perhaps our parents' or our grandparents' day that from, you know, the day after the wedding was the point at which the finances merged. Obviously, we don't do it that way anymore. But when is the sensible point to start this?
It's not first date discussions, let's put it that way. You need...
You old romantic dog, you.
You might scare people off. And actually, I love that. Like, I love first dates, right, on the TV, right, in terms of you watch what happens at the end and when the bill comes and who decides to pay it. That, to me, is fascinating, right? Because I think often it's used as an excuse, oh, he didn't offer to pay for me, so I got rid of him, or she didn't offer to pay her half and I wouldn't be able to have her. I think that's just the one that's an easy get out. But the best way I've seen that handled actually on a first date is where the person says, oh, the bill comes, and they say, I'll pay for this when you pay for the next one. Because what you've done there is you're finding out very subtly before the camera's put in your face, will there be a next one? Because if they go, no, 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 I'll pay my half now, it's probably likely they don't intend on having a next date with you. And I find that fascinating, that whole interaction. And maybe, I don't know if you do too, Philip, but that to me as a financial planner, that's where I get my kicks from, is watching what happens at the end of first date. Oh,
the love language of financial planners. Keats and Shelley, it definitely ain't. But go back to this idea, yes, of when do you merge things, please?
What I would say is when it comes to getting into a relationship, and when you start to see a long-term future in this relationship, we don't recognise durable relationships as a state, and the tax system certainly doesn't recognise durable relationships. But as a society, and I've done poll after poll on my Instagram on this, typically it comes out between 70 and 80% of us would prefer to be able to, that the tax system would recognise cohabiting couples, durable couples, the same way they do married couples. So our system is a little bit behind where society is in terms of recognising relationships. So therefore, once you start to think long term about this, you need to start thinking about the finances together and deciding what way it's going to be and how it's going to be decided and split. You can decide as a couple, as a new couple, and you're a couple of months in, and some people will take longer before, yeah, this is a long-term thing. But once you're committed to each other, you can decide as a couple whether you want to talk about previous relationships or not, for example, or what type of experiences and things have you had in the past. But it's not up for discussion whether or not you talk about finances. You need to talk about finances. And the reason is because if you do end up going for a mortgage, for example, okay, down the line, their financial history is now your financial history, and you both need to deal with it together. Once you're in joint applications on a mortgage, you are in it together completely, whether you like it or not. And one of the things I've seen happen in the past is where you have a couple and they fall in love, they find a home, they have their deposit, they put the deposit down, they go for the mortgage, and they find out
one of them welched on a debt.
Yeah, I've went off to Australia and mam never told me the credit card bill was coming in. And one of the things, we tend to be exactly the same or exactly opposite to our parents when it comes to money. And a little trick question for anyone thinking about this is, if you haven't had the conversation yet, ask your partner, what were your parents like with money? And when they start to describe it, you're going to recognise them as being opposite or the same, right? You'll see things in what they're saying about what your parents were like with money. Or else, and in even more sneaky one is, heard Owen McGee talk to Philip Boucher Hayes this morning on RTÉ Radio 1. And what he said was, we should all check and find out, what do the banks know about us? Go and apply, go to centralcreditregister.ie and apply for your credit report and find out what the banks know about you. You do it tonight, get your partner to do it tonight. In 10 days' time, you can have some financial planning fun and look at the reports.
Stop dragging me into all of these money rows that are going to end up happening now. Some of the texts coming in, 51551. Owen, we got married almost 20 years ago. We never set up a joint bank account. All of the utility bills and the mortgage are being paid through my bank account, and thus my wife feels that she is not responsible for any of the bills. I have regretted that decision ever since. Advice to newly married couples, definitely set up a joint account to service utility and mortgage bills. See, I don't think that you reckon when you walked in here this morning you were going to be doing marital advice and not financial advice.
You would
advice.
Be surprised how often my financial planning role brings me into that, Philip. But what I would say to that person, it's never too late. Like, that person says they're regretting that decision for the last 20 years. It's never too late to sit down and readjust how the family finances are dealt with. Now, he's saying that his partner is totally refusing to accept responsibility for them, but there's a joint responsibility. And I would suggest that over time, if it hasn't kicked in already, there'll be a level of resentment there.
Owen, are there ways in which the state, society, companies, banks, whatever, still discriminate against people who don't tie the knot?
Absolutely. Even the tax system is incredibly unfair. Like, it's incredibly unfair. Like, you could have a situation in limited circumstances. You could have a couple buy a house together, okay? And they're not married and one of them dies and there's a tax bill due.
An inheritance
tax bill due on the half of the house that you just inherited from the partner that you just bought a house with. Now, it's typically only in the first 3 years and it is where there's a problem is, or if you inherit another property at the same time. But there are other issues. There are issues when it comes to pensions, for example. A lot of the people who work for the state or people who work in big corporates, if they die, there's a spouse's pension paid out. But only if it's your, often it's only if it's your legal partner that you're married that it gets paid out.
What if I move in with somebody who is a house owner and I want to do the decent thing and I want to contribute and I pay half of the mortgage, but we split up 10 years down the line? Is there any recourse for me?
You've been renting for 10 years. That's basically, I can't dress it up any other way. If they
I've been renting
the house,
without a rent book.
Yeah. If you bought the house, now some people might do what might be considered the decent thing and other people might consider the decent thing is I bought this house by myself and you've been living here and you've been paying rent for the last 10 years. It depends. Not many split ups are amicable though. So you'll probably find you don't have a whole pile of rights. And the only way you're getting rights is to be put on the mortgage or put on the title deeds or both.
Okay, another one from Pat. When we got married in the 70s, we had a joint master plan bank account. This was used to pay our bills, etc. It was an ideal way to control our spending. Do banks still offer this type of account? Joint master plan bank account, are you familiar with that?
Yeah, this was actually something my dad used and I know exactly what the bank is. And what they would do is they take your annual bills and they divide them by 12 and you'd make a monthly repayment on a 12 monthly basis. So even if in January you've only made one payment and the car insurance was 800 quid, they would still pay out the full 800.
Credit unions still offer a service like
that. Yeah, there is a service. I think if you keep looking, you will find it, yeah.
Okay. Philip, could you ask Owen, does private health insurance bill count as a household bill? I wonder why she wants to know that.
So there's often primary and secondary from a money laundering, and these are anti-money laundering regulation requirements. There's often primary and secondary. I'm not sure where health insurance lies, but primary would be a bank statement or a utility bill like a gas or electricity. I suspect I would certainly treat that as a secondary bill, and often you need one from list one and one from list two, but I would treat that one as a secondary one.
All right, Owen McGee, thank you very much for joining us this morning with those.